nuclear-armed Pakistan becomes Gulf's go-to military partner after U.S. stumbles. Pakistan's military is no longer just training Gulf forces. It is building a strategic archipelago across the Middle East, one defense pact at a time, and Thursday's protocol signing in Rawalpindi with Kuwait marks the latest node in a network that now spans from the Saudi border to the Persian Gulf. What began as decades of quiet defense cooperation has transformed into something structurally different, a formal, institutionalized security architecture that positions Pakistan as the region's go-to military partner at a moment when Washington's security umbrella shows visible tears. Pakistan and Kuwait signed the protocol agreement 2026 on August 27, with Defense Minister Khawaja Asif and his Kuwaiti counterpart, Sheikh Abdullah Ali Abdullah Al-Salem Al-Saba, formalizing a framework that builds on an underlying 2023 agreement only recently ratified by Kuwait last month. The deal commits Pakistan's armed forces to training Kuwait's military, building defense capacity, and assisting with border management, according to Pakistan's Ministry of Defense. This follows a cascade of similar arrangements: a strategic mutual defense agreement with Saudi Arabia in September 2025, the Trilateral Mecca Pact, collective security agreement with Saudi Arabia and Turkey, deployment of thousands of troops and a fighter squadron to Saudi territory, and deepened training arrangements with Qatar. Former Pakistani two-star general Zahid Mahmood told Al Jazeera, "The Kuwait deal represents a shift from basic cooperation to a more structured security partnership. Though it lacks the Article 5-style collective defense commitment embedded in the Mecca Pact and the Saudi SMDA." Umar Karim, an associate fellow at the King Faisal Center for Research and Islamic Studies in Riyadh, noted that if Pakistani troops deploy to Kuwait's border with Iraq, it essentially brings this agreement closer to the Pak-Saudi one. The timing is not coincidental. Gulf confidence in U.S. security guarantees fractured after Israel struck a Hamas negotiating team housed in Doha in September 2025, bombing Qatari soil, and again during the U.S.-Iran war that began in February 2026, when Iranian strikes hit Kuwaiti and U.S. targets on Kuwaiti territory, killing six U.S. soldiers near Port Shuaibah. Days after the Doha strike, Pakistan and Saudi Arabia signed the SMDA. Salman Al-Jawana, head of the political press section at the Kuwait Journalist Syndicate, told Al Arabi Al Jadid the agreement should not be read as an ordinary bilateral pact, but in the context of reshaping the security environment in the Gulf after the escalation of regional threats. The nuclear card and the diplomatic sweet spot what Pakistan brings to the table is a combination no other nation can replicate. It is the only nuclear-armed country in the Muslim world, commands battle-tested armed forces with deep institutional experience, and occupies a rare diplomatic position trusted by both Washington and Tehran, currently serving as the central mediator in the U.S.-Iran conflict. That profile allows Gulf states to diversify their security partnerships without triggering the geopolitical backlash that a similar set of arrangements with China would provoke. Retired Kuwaiti Air Force Major General Yousef Al-Mullah pointed to Pakistan's growing military-industrial capability and nuclear status as providing strategic weight. Karim emphasized that Pakistan's ability to maintain strong relations simultaneously with Arab nations, China, and both sides of the U.S.-Iran war makes it uniquely valuable in a region scrambling to hedge against superpower volatility. The pattern mirrors broader trends in how middle powers are capitalizing on great power friction. Qatar's Minister of State, Mohammed bin Abdulaziz Al-Khulaifi, pledged support for efforts to end Libya's political division during a visit to Benghazi on August 28, meeting with Khalifa Haftar and affirming Qatar's commitment to continued dialogue and reconciliation. That same week, Russia formally opened the Northern Sea route for regular commercial traffic, with Rosatom authorizing 8 Chinese voyages in the inaugural season, offering China a strategic alternative to the Suez Canal and Red Sea routes. Both moves reflect a world in which traditional choke points, whether maritime or geopolitical, are being bypassed or diversified away from. What Pakistan gets in return, the $100 billion question the asymmetry in this relationship, is stark. Pakistan received a record $41.6 billion in remittances in the last financial year, according to the State Bank of Pakistan, with close to half originating from Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. Pakistan's Chief of Defense Forces, Field Marshal Asim Munir, told Pakistani businessmen in 2023 that Gulf states could invest up to $100 billion in the country. 3 years later, delivered investment remains a small fraction of that figure. What Islamabad can expect from Kuwait specifically remains unclear. Karim suggested the support could materialize as subsidized energy supplies, though that depends on the resolution of the Strait of Hormuz crisis, or in expanded visa access for Pakistani workers. Pakistan is currently home to a significant Kuwaiti expatriate workforce, and labor mobility remains a key economic lever. The question of what Pakistan gains by saying yes to these deals is not just economic. It is also strategic and existential. Pakistan's military leadership views these Gulf partnerships as a hedge against isolation, a source of diplomatic leverage, and a means to secure energy flows and financial backstops at a time when the country's external finances remain fragile. But the returns are long-dated and conditional, and the commitments are immediate and binding. The institutionalization of dependence, what has changed, is not the substance of Pakistan's role, but the formalization of it. For decades, Pakistan provided training and manpower to Gulf militaries quietly. The difference now is the pace, visibility, and legal formalization through signed agreements. The shift from tacit cooperation to treaty obligations creates new risks for Pakistan. It ties Islamabad's security posture to Gulf conflicts it may not wish to enter, and it deepens dependence on Gulf patronage at a time when the region's own stability is uncertain. Former General Mahmoud noted that the Kuwait deal includes training, logistics, intelligence sharing, and joint exercises, overseen by an annual joint military committee. This is not a mutual defense treaty in the strict sense, but it is considerably more institutionalized than what existed before. If Pakistani forces are deployed to Kuwait's border with Iraq, as Karim suggested may occur, then the distinction begins to collapse. The broader pattern is one of Pakistan offering a service, security provision, in exchange for financial flows that have not yet fully materialized. The Gulf states are hedging against U.S. unreliability. Pakistan is hedging against economic collapse. The question is whether these hedges are mutually reinforcing, or whether they expose both sides to new vulnerabilities they have not yet priced in. Key risk: Pakistan's expanding defense commitments across the Gulf create contingent liabilities that could pull Islamabad into regional conflicts without commensurate economic returns or strategic autonomy. The plecamium view: Pakistan is building a security franchise model in the Gulf, and the Kuwait deal is the latest franchise license. But the economics of this model are deeply unfavorable to Islamabad. Pakistan is selling deterrence, training, and manpower at a discount, taking payment in the form of remittances, deferred investment promises, and diplomatic goodwill. The Gulf states are buying optionality. They get a credible, nuclear-armed security partner without triggering Washington or Beijing, and they pay for it in installments that may never fully come due. The real strategic play here is not what Pakistan gains, but what it avoids losing. By embedding itself in Gulf security architecture, Pakistan secures a financial backstop, energy access, and diplomatic cover at a moment when its economy is structurally vulnerable and its geopolitical isolation is a constant risk. The Gulf states are not investing in Pakistan's economy. They are investing in Pakistan's military, which is a fundamentally different transaction. What the market is missing is that this is not a two-way partnership. It is a dependency structure dressed up as a strategic alliance. The Gulf states hold the economic leverage, and they are using it to outsource security without ceding control. Pakistan is providing the service without securing the returns. The Kuwait deal, like the Saudi SMDA before it, locks Pakistan into commitments that are hard to exit and easy to exploit. The second-order effect is that Pakistan's military becomes more autonomous from Pakistan's civilian government, more dependent on Gulf patronage, and more exposed to Gulf conflicts. That is not a bug, it is the design. The Gulf states want a capable, loyal, and non-threatening security partner. Pakistan's military, chronically underfunded and politically dominant, is willing to play that role. The cost is Pakistan's strategic autonomy. The benefit is survival. This is not a sustainable model. It is a holding pattern. And holding patterns work until they don't. The bottom line, Pakistan's expanding defense umbrella across the Gulf is real, formalized, and accelerating. The Kuwait protocol is the latest proof point. But the economic returns remain speculative, and the strategic risks are mounting. Gulf states are diversifying away from U.S. dependence by leaning on Pakistan. Pakistan is diversifying away from economic collapse by leaning on Gulf patronage. Neither side has a plan B if the other falters. For institutional investors, the play is not in Pakistan's equity markets or sovereign debt. The play is in understanding that Pakistan's military is now a Gulf security asset, and that changes the risk profile of both Pakistan and the Gulf. Watch for further deployments, particularly to Kuwait's border with Iraq. If those materialize, the line between training partner and defense guarantor will have been crossed, and the contingent liabilities will become explicit. That is the moment when this story moves from strategic hedging to strategic exposure. The Gulf is building a security architecture that bypasses Washington. Pakistan is the contractor. The question is who pays when the warranty expires.